Okay, so before we got asked to do a musical number as well. So my daughters and I are gonna sing something that goes along with my keynote. So enjoy. We really love this song and it'll go along with what I'm talking about.
Well, that's a problem.
It's up here in the drive, if you can go to the drive.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Sorry, it always happens like this, doesn't it?
I'm going to try pulling it out and putting it back in. I'm going to try pulling it out and putting it back in.
Pulling it out and putting it back in.
Yeah.
Take the road, let's travel. All right, give him another round of applause. Yeah. Those are great. So much fun. Okay, I'm also going to need that clicker. Can I get that clicker right there? Have you guys had a great conference? I was so inspired by some of the classes that I went to. I loved it. I love bringing people together in groups like this, where we get to talk and like minds think about all the wonderful things. It's just so inspiring. I love it. So a round of applause to everybody here, because this is what makes it great. For questions that you have for me later or anything like that, that's fine. But I'm going to jump right in. It's called Faith, Family, Freedom, Building the Homeschool of Your Dreams, Take the Road Less Traveled. Okay? So we're going to jump in. Also, I love to bounce off of ideas that you guys have or directions that you want to go. I could create infinite amounts of keynote addresses. This is just where I went with the Take the Road Less Traveled. So if you guys have any other road that you want to take this on, just ask me a question, I'll answer it, okay? I have had a lot of people stop me in the hallways and ask you your specific questions. Get those answered here, and if you don't get them answered, I'll stay afterwards and talk to you. Okay, so on the road less traveled, okay, sometimes it's really hard, I'm gonna come over here, sometimes it's really hard to branch out from like the norm of what things are doing or the preconceptions of things that are going on. So I have a story about that. Mine is actually, I have tons of stories about that, don't we all? Do you guys all have stories about that? I have stories about that. But one of them is when I was running my homeschool, I have worked my whole life to become a really amazing teacher, okay? It's something that I really love to do. I have done it in the, I've been an educator at college, I've worked online, I've taught at public schools, I taught my kids the entire way through, I educated church, I'm a teaching everywhere, right? Okay, and you guys are doing the same thing. But I had really dove in whenever I started to educate my kids, because it's personal. I wanted to do it really well, and I wanted to know why I was doing what I was doing. At the beginning, when I was homeschooling, technology was like, don't put your kids on the computer, right? Don't do this, don't do that. Put them in like classics all day and whatever, all the things, which I think are great, all the things. But I stayed there for a second. I was like, I'm going to teach them every single subject and do all the things because I'm the best teacher. There's no way that they could get it from somebody else better than me, right? Because I'm here, I'm going to be their one-on-one tutor. So I see some of you smiling. Okay, you can probably see where that leads. I was burnt out. I didn't have enough time for it. There was literally not enough time. I did it really well for like first child. He probably, like that's probably why he's like, Mom, I don't want to do any more school, because like I was like, preschool! Like we were having, you know, like we did so much. Then came the second, then came the third, then came the fourth, then came the fifth, then came the sixth. I don't have enough time to individually tutor each one of them, okay? So I had a realization, and then it was really uncomfortable. It wasn't like I was like, okay, I can't do this anymore, and I immediately made a shift, right? I had to sit in that discomfort for a second, and I had to say, okay, am I being selfish because I see a vision of what I want? But what do my kids actually need? What do I actually need, right? And then I had to lean into the hard. My hard was giving up something, my vision, right, of what I thought it was. I had to give it up. That was my hard. Think about your hard, because I'm sure all of you guys have different roads, right? So I have had many of stories like this one where I have made the choice to step onto the road less traveled, not because it was rebellious, but because it was the right path for me, okay? All right, so if you haven't read this one, go read the whole one. I'm not gonna read it right now, but The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost. Essentially, he says there's two paths. I chose one. If I don't like the one, I can come back to the other, right? But he says, I took the one less traveled by. I can't see this red. Sorry, it's a bad choice up here. And that has made all the difference, okay? So when you're doing yours, it will make all the difference in your life if you're willing to take that road less traveled. Okay, we're gonna go through truths, and then we're gonna go through tools, and then we're going to wrap it up. So truth number one, life is hard, okay? So the sooner we come to that realization, the sooner life gets easy, okay? We waste energy trying to make life painless. Acceptance removes the emotional weight of resistance. So pain is unavoidable, suffering is optional. All right, so I want you guys to think for a second. When have you done something that's, like, you've avoided something that's hard, but it makes life harder? Anybody? Anybody got one for me? You got one? I see you shaking your head. I know, you gotta be careful with me. You head shake, I might go on you. All right, tell me. Yeah, are these like conflict resolution conversations?
Yes.
Yeah, so like something's bothering you, you don't really address it, you're like, no big deal, sweep down the rug, sweep down the rug. Okay? And it makes life harder, really, right? Because it keeps happening, your boundaries aren't set, right? We all know this one, right? Okay? There's tons of these things that happen in our life. How about this one? Okay? I really would love to be healthy, like really healthy. But I have this problem where I really like soda, and I have a hard time waking up to work out, and all those kind of things, right? If I would just do the hard things, it wouldn't be so hard anymore, right? You gotta choose your hard, you know? But you can choose that hard at the beginning, or you can choose that hard at the end. Hopefully by the end of this, you're gonna choose the hard at the beginning, okay? All right, so M. Scott Peck, he's a psychiatrist, really interesting book that I just read from him, called The Road Less Traveled. But it says, life is difficult. This is a great truth. One of the greatest truths is, it is a great truth because once we truly see this truth, we transcend it, okay? Once we truly know that life is difficult, once we truly understand and accept it, then life is no longer difficult. Because once it is accepted, the fact that life is difficult no longer matters, okay? So, I want you all to think right now. Think of a time that by trying to avoid the pain, it actually caused you more pain, and if you just did the hard thing to begin with, it would have been better. Share it with your neighbor or somebody right now. Go for it. Do it real quick. 30 seconds. Okay, I know it's a short 30 seconds, I get it. All right, so for youth, I want to ask you a question. Youth, you see me? I see you, I love the youth, right? Okay, over here. What if you woke up every day? You know you gotta do homeschool. You know you've gotta learn something. You know you gotta practice your instrument. You know you gotta go build skills, right? What if instead of giving your parents 3, 4, 5 hours of back talk, you said, life is hard, I'll get to it. Woo! You laughed. Why did you laugh, right? No, what would your parents do? Parents, what would you do? Well, great, life is hard. I'll be right here to support you, right? It's so fun. Parents, what if, when your kids are acting the other way we talk about, you say, you know what, life is hard, but I chose this road and I'm sticking to it. Everybody sit down, we're doing this, right? Okay, we can choose it, we can do it however we need to in our family, but if we just accept it, if you just wake up every day and say, you know what, my arthritic knee is gonna hurt me, I'm gonna get dressed anyways and walk on down those stairs, right? I do have an arthritic knee, just so you know. Awful. Okay, so truth number one, life is hard. Life is hard, but acceptance brings peace. If you just accept it, it's a crazy miracle cure, okay? All right, next one. Truth number two, avoidance is the real enemy, okay? Avoidance causes anxiety, decision fatigue, guilt and shame, reactive parenting. If you discipline yourself to quit avoiding and you figure out the root cause of X, Y, Z, then do the hard thing. So if you figure out the root cause, why am I avoiding this? Okay, that's not as bad as I thought it was. I'm just gonna do it, right? In fact, last night, what was it? It was yesterday morning before we came to the conference, I cut all my boys' hair. okay? And I was like, you guys need a good trim, right? Because you're gonna go to a dance tonight, all that stuff. So I cut all their hair before we came to the conference, and I said to myself, oh, look at all of those things I left out on the table there. I'll just do it later, because I'm busy. And then I said to myself, no, do the hard thing, Brand. Just put it away, right? And guess what? When I came home, nothing on the table. All right? You can do that with anything in your life, but just do the hard thing first, and then you don't have a whole thing later. Okay, here we go. Truth number three, discipline is a gift. I mean, it's my favorite word in the English language. It really is discipline, okay? Discipline is training. It's not punishment, okay? Everybody should be well-disciplined. Yourself, your kids, and you should be helping other people around you. The word discipline is from the Latin word disciplina, meaning, I'm learning Spanish, so I want to say disciplina and stuff like that. That's not right, okay? But meaning instruction and training. It is derived from the root word desir, to learn, okay? Reframe your parenting from restriction to preparation, okay? So, if you see something happening, you know it's going to be hard to address it. We don't always want to, like, I didn't see it. I did not see my kid do that because I don't want to deal with it right now, right? But instead say, no, if I avoid it, they won't be prepared for the next step, and it's going to get harder. Or, I don't actually want to make my kid do something today, right? I don't want to help them keep their goals. Don't avoid it. Use discipline to say, I'm going to help. And then teach your kids the same thing. Discipline is how we teach children and ourselves how to do hard things before life forces them to. Because life's going to smack them in the face. Okay? It will if you don't teach them. Okay, here we go. Truth four, are you modeling the life you want your children to live? So ask yourself these questions as I read them. Do my children see me doing hard things? That's my kid. Okay. Do they see me follow through? Do they see that I still have faith and grit when things are uncomfortable or hard? Am I honest with them when I fail? Do I reflect about what I have been through and how it has shaped me? Do I talk to them before I do something hard and how I feel and prepare for that? Okay? These are so important. These are conversations that I have on the daily with my kids, all right? My kids know a lot about what's going on with me. I tell them, hey, I'm actually really nervous about doing this, but this is how I prepared, blah, 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 right? Having those conversations, doing, like, committing to do hard things and bringing your kids along with you, okay? Recently, I if you guys were in my class before, you probably already know, but I was the director for the Little Mermaid play in our town, okay? And it was huge. We had 100 people on staff and in the cast. Ton of people to manage. It was awesome. It literally took 18 months of my life, and 9 months of those lives, it was like 2 full-time jobs, okay? Major respect to all the people who donated director time, okay? It was awesome, but it was hard. And when I was overwhelmed with things, I would tell my kids, hey, I'm feeling overwhelmed, this is the reason why. This is how we work through it, but guess what, I still showed up, right? So they know it's not just mom superwoman. Mom has a hard time too, but look at her, she got up and she went, she did it, right? So they need to see you guys work through those things, they need to see you doing hard things, and that life is full of it, right? Okay, so let's get to the tools. I love tools. Define your non-negotiables, all right? So what matters most in your home? What defines success to your family? What is your ultimate goal, all right? So I want you to write down 2 non-negotiables. Like, if we were at the end of this homeschool game with your family, which never ends, though, it's all life, parents, okay? All the things. I want you to say, like, maybe some ideas are in that one. What would be your non-negotiable? Like, this is what our family does. You could define us by it. You could, like, ask somebody who we are, and they would say this word about our family. What is it? Or what you want your family to look like. And then I want somebody to share. Anybody? A non-negotiable. Yeah.
Kindness.
Hey, so now I'm gonna go down this road. You ready? So kindness is her non-negotiable, right? That's such a broad topic, right? So in her home, what defines kindness, right? Is it just kind to everybody? Is there boundaries there? How do we walk over those boundaries? Those things are gonna be what she eats and breathes in all of their conversations, because she wants her kids more than anything else to be kind. And she wants them to know what that looks like, right? Not just the Webster's definition of it, but she wants, hey, my kids will know what I think kind is before they leave this house, right? You eat, breathe, live it, right? Anybody else? Have one? No? Yeah. Tell the truth. So these are character qualities that we're bringing up. I like it. So you're going to, every time you see deception in your house, every time you see a fallacy, every time you see a bold lie, you're going to be like, you know what? We don't do that. We're truth tellers, right? They're non-negotiables in our home, okay? When you set up your homeschool day, put up non-negotiables. My kids know every day what's on their checklist. There are non-negotiables on that checklist that they're going to do. And then there's stuff that if they want to earn extra, like points or whatever we're handing out that day, okay, that they can choose. They know this is our priority and it aligns with our family goals. And then in your free time, whatever you want, right? Do you have those things? Do your kids know what would be on your non-negotiable list? Yes? No? Okay? All right. If everything is important, nothing is protected. So this is really important when you do your non-negotiables. It can't be everything. Okay, I'd love for my kids to do everything, but you can't, right? You only have a finite amount of time, so you have to figure out what is, like, what's important. It might be different for every kid. Does that make sense? A non-negotiable might be different for your first kid, second kid, third kid. Does that make sense? Okay, tool number two, choose the right heart. There's dumb heart, too. Okay, don't do the dumb heart. It's, yeah. Okay, which heart leads to the freedom that you want, right? So I could go and, let's see, I don't know. I could go out, I'll go back to the workout thing, right? I could go out and work out for 5 hours a day, spend all day on my nutrition goals and all those kind of things and whatever, and look snatched, right? Awesome, it's great. But is that the freedom that I want? Maybe, I mean, I don't know. But at what cost? Right? So you have to ask yourself, is that actually the freedom I want? Do I want that? So choose the right heart. Okay? So hard, what's your hard and what freedom? So really sit and think in that. Create routines. Okay? All the things. Discipline is choosing between what you want now and what you want most. So in order to do that, you really have to come back and say, what are my non-negotiables? What do I want this family to look like? Okay, number three. Build simple, strong systems focused on clear expectations, predictable routines, fewer decisions, more consistency. So, we all have the best of intentions, and I'm sure I did this a lot. I did really good when my kids were little, and then there was a time in the middle where it was kind of chaos, and then I circled back and figured things out, right? Okay? But part of it was I knew what I wanted, but I wasn't clear with my kids, right? I wasn't telling them, they didn't know exactly what we were going to do every day. Fewer decisions, right? It was just like, oh no, if I finish my schoolwork early, my mom's gonna add another book on, right? So here's your non-negotiables, this is what I expect from you every week. I'm not adding any more, but I hope you do partake, right? But you do not rise to the level of your goals, you fall to the level of your systems, right? You can have the best goals in the whole entire world, but unless you have the systems produce the result you want, it's never happening. Okay, tool four, teach children to do hard things, all right? Practical strategies are age-appropriate responsibilities, delayed gratification, follow through before fun, struggle without rescue. That one's hard, isn't it? Struggle without rescue. So, this is a phrase I say all the time to my kids. This is hard, and you can do hard things. Right? When they come up and whine into you, like, I don't know how to do this. This is hard, you can do hard things. How you gonna figure it out? What are the tools you need to solve that? Right? Give them the tools to do it, and it'll make your life a lot easier. Our job isn't to make childhood easy, it's to make adulthood possible. Now, I'm not saying I love childhood. My kids play all the time. So don't take that one as we're just preparing little adults all the time. That's not what that is. But it is. As they go through, they develop the character qualities that will help them to be awesome adults. Okay? Oh, tool five. Reflect, don't quit. All right? This is something I see all the time when I talk to people who are homeschooling. because it can really actually get very overwhelming. When something isn't working and we feel that like angst, you guys know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about, where you're like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. Maybe something's really wrong. I'm a failure. I hate life. Maybe I should homeschool. Dropping you guys off tomorrow. Have you guys all, anybody felt that? Anybody? No? Okay, just one. Okay, right? Okay. Ever heard it? Yeah, well, okay. Adjust instead of abandon. Keep with it for a while, right? Routines take a long time, sometimes years to stick. Okay? Reflect instead of react. So instead of like being like, we're changing it now. This isn't working. Take a second, take mommy time out, and say, okay, what about that didn't work? Was it actually the thing that I want to do? Like, let's say you want to sit down in the morning and read to your kids and they're all over the place. And you're like, sit down. I am giving you my time. I want to do this. Instead of reacting like that, say, what's not working? Could the little one play with Legos? Like, what can I do? Don't just abandon it because you get frustrated. So, is this truly wrong or is it just uncomfortable for a second? Okay, so we're going to go back to the song, Mirror, Mirror. All right? Don't let the world define success, beauty, or worth in your life or your homeschool. Your homeschool might look so different from somebody right next to you, right? And it doesn't mean that yours is wrong or theirs is right, but stick to your guns. You don't build something meaningful by following every trend, okay? If you do that, you're gonna get exhausted. History is made by those willing to do things different. Acting the fool, that was in there, right? Most of us are already taking the road less traveled because we're homeschooling, and that's different than the social norm, right? So we're already taking that step, and then sometimes within homeschool, we have to say, no, this is right for my family, I'm doing it. Courage comes from trusting your convictions, not from external approval, okay? All right, now, there's a special note here. Extremes are dangerous in anything, all right? So there are societal norms for a reason. There are reasons some things are done the way they're done, because historically, somebody fell off a cliff, don't walk too close to the cliff, right? Or somebody touched the burning flame and got burnt. We don't touch the flame, right? So pick out what is a stupid path versus this is my path. Does it make sense? Because there are ones that you shouldn't go down. There are societal norms for a reason, all right? When you choose to take the road less traveled, make sure you are rooted in reasoning and you're committed to the cause. So just like homeschool, right? When people come up to me and they're like, Rhea, I'm homeschooling. Can you give me advice? And I say, okay, number one question, is it because you hate public school? And they say, well, yeah, my kid's getting bullied, blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay, then I need you to take a second before you choose to homeschool, because that shouldn't be the reason, right? You should choose it because you want it inside. You want your kids home with you. You want this, not just because it's a reaction to something, right? Which, those people can choose to homeschool too, I love it. But don't make your reason just because, okay? Make sure you're rooted. All right, so the song captures what so many of us feel, but rarely say out loud. Homeschooling requires us to wear out our boots. You gotta work, right? Kick up the grass. So we're gonna disturb the peace a little bit, have some fun, okay? And choose paths that don't make sense to everybody else, all right? But it makes sense to God and to your family. So trust your rebel heart and ride it into battle. Now, I have saved some time at the end here to open up for any Q&A that you guys want to ask me, because I got asked a lot of questions. You guys can clap, that's fine, so you can clap first. And then I'm going to ask Q&A, because we're almost done. Yeah, go ahead, it's fine. Okay. All right. So, I love homeschooling, love it so much. But I would love to answer your questions that some of you have for me. Where are some of them? Who asked? Yes. Okay, so let's see. Hunter, my oldest, is 17, and that's a hard question. I don't know when I started like preschooling him, but for about that, 17. I think homeschool's from the moon. Okay, I have been teaching over 20 years though. Oh, okay, great. Okay, my question, or I'm opening it up to any questions you guys have, whether it's about any of these things, or questions that people stop me in the hall for. Oh, repeat their question. Oh, sorry, I have to, yes. Her question was, how long have you been homeschooling? And then that was my answer. All right, who else? Anybody? There was one person that was here earlier and I can't find her. Okay, let's open it up to this. Any questions about these choosing hearts? Nobody? You guys, come on. Uh-huh.
Can we go back to the second slide?
Yes. Of course. This one?
No.
This one.
Okay, it was the number two choosing heart.
Tool two?
Tool two?
Oh, shoot.
Tool number two? This one?
Yes, I think it was the next one.
This one?
Oh, no,
this one?
Truth number
two. Two. Okay, this one.
Not tool, truth.
Truth number two.
Oh, I'm
right there. Whoa, go back to that guy.
Right there?
There.
Is this it? Okay, all right. Okay, since we have a little bit more time, I'm going to tell you guys, how much time do we have?
About
10 minutes. Okay, all right, so here's the thing that I help people with the most, okay, as we're going through things, is time management in your homeschool, all right? Because once you can master how to fit in the things that you want, the core things that you want, it goes great. So my family, somebody asked me, I don't see her here. Oh, she's right there. She asked me, okay. So she asked me out in the hall, she said, I looked at your resume. I see that you work and that you homeschool, right? And I do a lot of community things as well, all right? And her question to me was, how do you do these things and homeschool, right? How do you work and homeschool? Because you said, I want to be fulfilled. Yeah, like I want something myself, right? Okay, I'm going to open it up to you guys if you have any suggestions, and then I'm going to tell my piece. Okay, anybody have any answers to that? I know we have a lot of people in here that do a lot of different things. Anybody? Yes?
Okay, this year I switched my kids to an online program, and it was life-changing for me. And it's been really good for them to have space away from me, and they're more self-paced and more self-guided, and it has opened up opportunities for me.
I love that. So that was one of the things that I did. I told her in the beginning, I said, at every different stage, I would give you a different answer for that question, right? So how do I do those things and still homeschool my kids, right? The first thing is you have to be realistic about what your heart is, okay? So mine was I just didn't have enough time to do all the things that I wanted, right? As I walked through my homeschooling journey, I was a professor at BYU Idaho for 7 years. When I was a professor at BYU Idaho, I went back and got my master's while I was pregnant with my fifth child. I built my house when I was pregnant with my fourth, like literally built it, like Brianna's swinging a hammer around, like all of those things. Like I've done some really hard things while I'm working, while I'm homeschooling, while I'm being a mother, all of those things. So the first advice that I would give to that is you have to know what hat you're wearing when you're wearing it. So if you're a teacher hat, put the teacher hat on, turn off the cell phone, and put it aside. So I got to a point where people would call me from work, from different things, whatever, and it would disrupt, like, do you guys know when you answer a phone call and all of a sudden everything goes, it's like an hour before you can get everybody back? The only people who could reach me during those times were my husband and my sister-in-law, Adrian. Legit wouldn't take it from anybody else, okay? So that was a system that worked for me, right? When I was at work, I was all in work, and my kids, I had to say, this is not your time, right? They had a boundary, and I said, you guys have this set up to do. You either play, do your school, whatever, and we have them going and doing something, right? But the biggest thing is you have to be able, do you have a supportive spouse? What?
Yes.
Yes.
He works full-time now.
He works full-time as well? But, like, is he supportive of you doing what you want to do?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. That's key. If you don't have a supportive spouse, if he's going to be, like pecking at you the whole time and saying, You shouldn't be doing this. It's really hard on our family. Blah, blah, you should quit. It's not going to work. My husband's right back here. You guys give him a round of applause. Okay? But everything that I do, he has my back 110%. And that does not mean that he helps. Okay? It doesn't mean that he comes and he's like, open your mouth today. Right? That's not what we're talking about. But when the dishes are like stacked up past my head and nobody has underwear because I've been doing something in the community, okay? He's not like, Brianne, I can't believe you're awful. Right? He's not like that. He's super supportive and he really, really helps out. I know that that is a key of why mine works. It's because I have a supportive spouse, number one. Number two, the reason that mine has worked out the way it has is because God has asked me to do every single thing I've done. I get down on my knees, I ask in sincere prayer, is this something that you want me to be doing right now? And when he tells me it's time to be done with that and move on to something else, I listen. That's the only way that that works for me. But I'm with Jessica, I do the same thing. Whenever I went to an online curriculum for my kids, it opened up time for me to be a different kind of teacher to them, and I really have enjoyed that. That's opened up a ton of time. Yeah?
What grade
did
people go to online?
What grade?
Yeah.
So I actually have a kindergartner all the way up. My son is a junior in college, but he's actually doing the BYU Idaho concurrent enrollment, so he's in college. But my, the what? Junior in high school doing the BYU Idaho. So I have all levels for him. But all of my kids do the online program. My specific recipe, so I also have a master's in curriculum and instruction. So I literally went through hundreds of curriculums to like evaluate the homeschool curriculums, different things like that. The online ones back when, I didn't love them because kids were on the computer more than they needed to be at a school day. They were like sitting in front of it for 8-9 hours, and that's not the reason why I homeschool. The one that I found recently, my older kids can get it done in two to four hours, maybe, whatever they have on their docket. My younger child, it's done in 30 minutes to an hour, so kindergarten. So I wanted that, and then we do project-based learning, which I taught on last year. But yeah, so they can start at any age depending on the program that you have. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Yeah.
How many kids do you have?
Six. I have a 17-year-old. A 15-year-old, 13-year-old, 11-year-old, almost 8-year-old, and a 5-year-old. Did I just do six? I did, didn't I? I counted something with a six. It's fine. Okay? All right, any other questions about curriculum, discipline, anything like that? How much time do we got? Okay? Yeah?
How do you get back into the system and everybody on board?
Great. Okay, I do this all the time. I call it my roller coaster, all right? Oh, the question. Yes, sorry, Chris. Yes, the question is, when you have a system set up and then life happens as it always does, or you decide you're going to go do this big thing or whatever happens, or your kids have a big thing going on, you got to be supportive, and you feel like you can't do the regular system, how do you get people back to that system and get people back on board without having, like, yeah, like you have to change everything up again. Okay, great. So if you have a simple, clear it was on one of these. I'll show you. You're like, oh no, Brand, don't touch it again, right? Okay, right here, when you have clear expectations, predictable routines, fewer decisions. So whenever we did the Little Mermaid, my online platform allowed my kids to keep doing school without me, right? Like I took myself out of that one. So that whenever I choose to do big things, their school keeps continuing. But some of the things that we normally did, I just didn't have, like, I hit my ground running at first thing in the morning. So, like, for instance, one of the things that we love to do in our home is watch World Watch News every morning, get caught up with the current events. I love to read my kids awake, do things, whatever. But there just wasn't as much energy to go around, right? So some of those routines fell out. And then I said, you know what? You know what routine is now? Little Mermaid, right? We're gonna do all things, you guys are gonna help me, we're gonna do it, whatever, it's gonna be so much fun. Right afterwards, we just started the old routine like it was nothing, like it was normal. And my oldest son, he's like, oh, I see how that, he even said it to me, he's like, I see how that happens, right? But you do whatever you can do, you tell your kids exactly why you're doing it, And if you have simple routines that you expect every day, even if you can't do them all the time, you can come back to them so easy, right? Does that answer your question? Sort of?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same all the time.
Yes.
But it seems like every week we're starting over again.
Every week?
Yeah.
So then my suggestion would be find out the root cause of why it's not working. So is there too much on it? Is it actually not rooted in what your family's goals are? Are some of the things just things that would be nice to do but not essential? Bring your predictable routines back down to the essentials, and then you can branch off from there. But if they're not essential, your kids will know they're not essential, and you won't have any buy-in. So bring it down to the bare minimum, and then build from there what you actually care about. Does that make sense? Or, yeah. Okay? Any other questions? Yeah.
What curriculums are you loving?
What curriculums do I?
Are you loving?
Or am I loving? So I actually just do one now. So I have done a lot of them over the years, and I like a lot of things about a lot of curriculums. But I use Acelus Academy for all of my kids. My older kids, the reason I chose Acelus was because of the time frame. It's great building block education, okay? I add project-based learning on top of it. But it comes through online without any prep from the instructor, so they get a constant, steady state, and then I do the project-based learning stuff with my kids. So that's pretty much it for their curriculum, and then we do books, and, you know, like they read and different things like that, but yeah.
Can you give some examples of your project-based stuff?
Sure. Okay, so project-based learning, some of my favorites. So what I do is I pick history, science, reading, different things like that, right? And we rotate those around, and then I pick in each different category, something that my kids want to study, and then I put in real life skills into all those things, or like note taking or different things that they do, and then we pull it all together, and we have 6 weeks of projects that we do with that, right? So one of them that we did was from Amsterdam. I went to Holland and Germany, and when I came back, we did 3D prints of windmills. We did, we did an art project with Van Gogh, different things like that. It's so much fun, right? And so it can be anything you want with that, but they're basically unit studies, just enriching your kids' education. Any other questions? Are we out of time? Okay, thank you guys so much for being here. If you have any other questions, let me know. I love speaking to you guys. You're so awesome. Go and do awesome work.